Hello, Michael Rees here with another episode in the collection of original short stories known as Halfway to Infinity. In today's story, when the lockdown gets in the way of fulfilling her husband's last wish, Mrs. Middleton gets creative and gets more than she bargained for. Arthur's Last Wish. Arthur's cat died. It was just a year after Arthur himself had lay dying on a sterile hospital bed, his wife holding tightly to his hand as he gave his last wish.
"When the cat goes," he'd said, "I want him cremated and then put in with me ashes. You promise me, my love. He's been a special friend to me, that little cat. I know he's got a few years left in him, but when the time comes, you promise me?"
She promised. After all, what else are you going to say to a dying man? She had already agreed that she would move on, as Arthur had called it, and find herself another man to look after her.
Fat chance, she thought that evening, looking at herself in the mirror. Not at my age, and especially with my weight.
She went into the kitchen to feed the cat. Mrs. Middleton lived on the 25th floor of a drab London tower block. They had bought the flat years ago on the right-to-buy scheme. Arthur was still there, in a little blue urn on the shelf over the TV. The cat didn't seem to miss him. It sat as it always had, looking out of the window at the dull, urban London landscape spread out far below. At least it used to, until that day Mrs. Middleton found the little, cold body curled up on the settee.
"Oh, you poor thing," she thought.
She wrapped the cat in one of Arthur's old shirts and put it in the cupboard under the sink next to the domestos and the dishcloths. She then picked up the yellow pages and flicked through to P for pet services, crematoriums. She sat on the little stool in the hallway and listened carefully as the sympathetic worker explained the procedure.
"Thank you," said Mrs. Middleton at the end. "I'll think about it."
She put down the receiver and went back to the small formica table in the kitchen.
£140, she said to the dead cat under the sink. "More if I want an urn. I know the council would take you away for nothing, but... well, I promised Arthur I'd have you in with him."
£140 was more than she had at the best of times. But now, with the pandemic and lockdown, she had lost her little job cleaning for the local pizza restaurant, and all she had left was a small pension.
"I suppose I could put you in the freezer and then save up for a bit, but it's already full, what with me being stuck up here and I can't go shopping as often as I want. Oh, Arthur, even beyond the grave you're being a right royal pain."
She filled the kettle and put it on the burner before sitting down again at the small table. The old white gas cooker hissed gently as the blue flame heated the water. She looked at the dark square window of the oven below. The oven.
"I don't suppose," she thought.
The cat wouldn't quite fit on the baking tray. Its tail hung limply over the side. She opened the kitchen drawer and took out a pair of scissors.
"It don't need to be the whole cat, does it, Arthur? I mean, I don't even know if there's enough room in your urn for all of him anyway."
Snip.
"That's better," she said,
looking at the little, tailless body.
"And I'm not sure about your fur. I mean, we'd never put a chicken in the oven with its feathers on, would we? Probably create an awful stink."
She remembered a birthday long ago, and how her hair had caught a light on the candles.
"Nah, that won't do."
In the small bathroom, she opened the plastic cabinet over the sink and took out Arthur's old razor and can of shaving foam.
"Glad I didn't get around to throwing these away," she said.
She rubbed the white, lemon-scented foam over the cold, furry body, then drew the razor carefully along the back. The fur bunched up, damp and sticky on the razor, as it cut a clean, pink strip of flesh. She giggled to herself.
"All the same underneath, aren't we? Just soft and pink."
She shaved the rest of the body as best she could until it lay cold and naked, with only the head and paws remaining with fur intact.
"Dunno if I can do your head and your little feet with this razor. It's a bit tricky." "Well, there's an easy fix for that," she said, taking out the scissors again.
Snip, snip. She dropped the remains into a black bin bag, then washed her hands under the tap and turned again to the pink flesh on the table. Out of habit, she trussed up what was left of the little animal, then took out some tinfoil. She turned to the oven.
"Should I preheat?" she wondered out loud. "That's what I'd normally do, so I suppose so. And I don't suppose it should be too hot. I know I want to burn it, but I need the whole thing done, not just the outside. And I don't want no smoke. I guess I should take it slow, like a regular chicken, but longer, I suppose. Arthur would have known."
She turned the oven on, gas mark 5, then set the old wind-up timer for 10 minutes. She sat back at the table, flicking through an old magazine, the cat, pink cold meat under the tinfoil on the baking tray beside her. Halfway through an article on decoupage, the timer bell rang a few brief seconds before exhausting its mechanical energy. Mrs. Middleton stood, picked up the baking tray, and opened the oven.
"Right, in you go," she said, sliding it in. "I suppose this is where I should say a little prayer or something, but I don't know anything."
She looked at the little mound of tinfoil through the glass.
"Well, thank you for keeping Arthur amused for a couple of years."
She turned on the kitchen fan, then went to take a bath. The not unpleasant smell of gently cooking cat permeated the small flat. Mrs. Middleton stepped out of the bathroom and was immediately reminded of the roasts she would cook for Arthur every Sunday until he grew too ill to eat them. She hadn't made a roast since.
"Oh my," she said aloud.
She sat again at the kitchen table, looking at the dark, dimly lit world inside the oven. There was a quiet, strangely polite knock at the front door. In her dressing gown and with her hair wrapped up in a towel, Mrs. Middleton went to the door and looked through the peephole. Outside was a man with a sad, worn face. His white hair was neatly brushed back, and he wore a dark jacket over a striped polo shirt. There was a small flower in the lapel.
"Who puts a flower in their lapel anymore?" Mrs. Middleton thought. "Who is it?"
she called through the door.
Oh, hello, it's Mr. James from next door. Sorry to trouble you."
Mrs. Middleton barely knew her neighbours, just polite nods and mumbled greetings when they passed in the corridor. She had no idea who lived where. She slid off the security chain and opened the door.
"I'm ever so sorry, and I don't mean to disturb you, but I couldn't help but smell whatever delightful thing you have cooking. And I know it's been a while, because we used to get the most delicious aromas coming from your flat, but it stopped a while back, and I was just wondering what it was."
Mrs. Middleton smiled nervously.
"It's just a little something. It was my husband's favourite."
"Your husband?"
"Yes, while he was alive."
Oh, I see, yes. My wife, too. She did all the cooking. Never thought about it much before she died, but now it's all beans on toast or something instant, isn't it? It was the smell, you see. It just reminded me of, you know, and, well, it's been so long, and I was just wondering if you could maybe see a way to, you know, perhaps teaching me a little something about cooking."
There was an awkward pause, filled with a deep longing.
"Oh, well, you're more than welcome to join me, if you'd like."
"That's very generous, if you really don't mind."
"No, not at all. Just give me half an hour to clean myself up."
"Oh, you don't have to, really, but half an hour, of course, yeah, half an hour then."
Mrs. Middleton closed the door and stood in the half-darkness.
"All right, then,"
she said with a sigh, and turned. She went quickly into the front room to the little blue urn on the mantelpiece.
"Well, it is what you wanted, Arthur, dear," she said as she picked him up and carried him into the kitchen.
She put him into the cupboard under the sink, then went to the little basket next to the refrigerator and took out 2 carrots, some potatoes, and a large onion. Halfway to infinity.